Translation.
Sukadev Goswami said, "My dear King, Lord Vishnu, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, appeared as Vamanadev."
We were speaking about him yesterday.
"In the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Then he extended his left foot to the end of the universe and pierced a hole in its covering with the nail of his big toe." How magnificent. "Through the hole, the pure water of the causal ocean entered this universe as the Ganges River. Having washed the lotus feet of the Lord, which is covered with reddish powder, the water of the Ganges acquired a beautiful pink color. Every living being can immediately purify his mind of material contamination by touching the transcendental water of the Ganges. Yet its waters remain ever pure. Because the Ganges directly touches the lotus feet of the Lord before descending to this universe, she is known as Vishnupadi. Later she received other names like Janavi and Bhagirathi. After 1,000 millennia, the water of the Ganges descended on Dhruvaloka, the topmost planet in this universe. Therefore, all learned sages and scholars proclaim Dhruvaloka as Vishnupad, situated on Lord Vishnu's lotus feet." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, Sukadeva Goswami describes the glories of the Ganges River. "The water of the Ganges is called Patita Pavani, the deliverer of all sinful beings. It is a proven fact that a person who regularly bathes in the Ganges is purified both externally and internally. Externally, the body becomes immune to all kinds of disease, and internally, he gradually develops a devotional attitude toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Throughout India, many thousands of people live on the banks of the Ganges, and by regularly bathing in her waters, they are undoubtedly being purified both spiritually and materially. Many sages, including Shankaracharya, have composed prayers in praise of the Ganges, and the land of India itself has become glorious because such rivers as the Ganges, Yamuna, Godavari, Kaveri, Krishna, and Narmada flow there. Anyone living in the land adjacent to these rivers is naturally advanced in spiritual consciousness. Srila Madhvacharya says, Varahe Vamana Padam Tu Tat Anyeshu Tu Dakshinam Padam Kalpeshu Bhagavan Urjahara Trivikrama. Standing on his right foot and extending his left to the edge of the universe, Lord Vamana became known as Trivikrama, the incarnation who performed three heroic deeds. Om Gyan Chamrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pongum Langai Te Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Hinatarinam Shri Rupa Shri Sanatana Bhattaraduna Shri Jiva Gopal Bhattara Dasaraguna Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Narati Swapanandikam Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Ganjana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tavasmi Radhika Natam Karmana Manasagira Krishna Kante Tavai Vasmi Uvame Bhagatir Mama Govinda Vallabhe Radhe Partiye Mamaham Sada Twadiya Iti Janatu Govindo Mam Twayasa Radhe Vrinda Vanarishe Karunamrita Vahini Kripaya Nijapadabja Dasyam Mahyam Pradiyatam Tavai Vasmi Tavai Vasmi Najivami Twaya Vina Iti Vigyaya Devitam Nayamam Charanantikam Panchakalpadrubhyascha Prabhasindubhyevacha Padithanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So here we, in this chapter, we read of the descent of Ganga Devi to this world. And in this verse, we hear many beautiful names of Ganga. She is Vishnupadi because she has touched the lotus feet of Vishnu. She is Janavi because she reappeared from the ear of Janurishi and became known as Janavi, the daughter of Janu. And she is Bhagirathi, and we will hear a lot more about that in the pages to come. Bhagirath performed great penance and austerity to bring her to the earth to purify and deliver his ancestors. Otherwise, there's another nice name, Patita Pavani, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the deliverer of the fallen, the deliverer of the sinful. Very beautiful names for Ganga Devi. So, as a child, we lived in Mayapur, which flows, which is on the bank of the Ganges, and we would often see many people coming, especially on holy days, to bathe in the Ganga. Even they may have a shower or a pump nearby, but they prefer to come and to go and bathe in the flowing currents of the Ganges River, knowing it to be purifying. And then especially pilgrims would come on Purnima or other holy days to bathe in her waters. I remember as a child once on our free days, we would go in extra time, we would go and bathe in the Ganga just with a couple of friends. Once when we were bathing, just one other boy and I, or two other boys, you may know Jiva, he lives here in Sydney, and as we were bathing, then something came floating towards us. It was a banana raft. If you tie some banana trees together, they will float, and you can float on top of them. Particularly during the floods in Mayapur, this type of transport becomes very common. People have their banana rafts. Just cut down some trees, tie them together, and you have a boat. And so once we were bathing and we saw this banana raft coming towards us with a mosquito net on top. And so we wanted to look inside, and there was a dead child on top of that raft with a note. And basically that child had been bitten by a snake, and the child was dead, but there was a slight hope, maybe the child will come back to life. So rather than fully disposing of the body, they floated it on a raft with a note
if she comes back to life, this is the address. generally, the practice is that the body is cremated and the ashes thrown into the Ganga. Because of the story that will be told in the pages of the Bhagavatam, the Ganga can purify all souls that come in contact with her waters. I also had the honor to put my grandparents' ashes into the Ganga. My auntie brought me, not a Vaishnava, but I guess, you know, you hold on to whatever hopes there are. She brought those ashes to Mayapur, and we did a ceremony to place their ashes in the Ganga. So there is great faith in the power of Ganga. Great faith in the potency of Ganga Devi. Those are my experiences. I'm sure you have your own experiences, seeing people bathing in the Ganga, or things that you have seen take place by the bank of the Ganges, how people pray, how people offer items into the water. They might offer artik in Rishikesh. There's an ashram, Sachinandan Swami just sent me a message actually a couple of days ago. There's an ashram there where each evening they offer arti to Ganga Devi as a gurukul, and then they have kirtan as well. Maharaj told me that he was there. So you have your own experience of how people revere the Ganga. The British were quite perplexed. How is it that so many people bathe in the Ganga, that put, you know, dead bodies in there, and, you know, different things? Everyone's taking shelter of the Ganga, and somehow, you know, it's not causing the spread of disease. And apparently they found some microbe there that eats germs, as a material explanation for the purifying potency of Ganga. At university, I guess it was a year ago, we were sitting around, some PhD students and my supervisor. Somehow the topic of the Ganga came up, and I was very happy to hear people talking about the Ganges and how, you know, this extraordinary potency it has, that, you know, despite so many impure things going in, the water itself remains pure. And my supervisor, he said, yes, they've discovered uranium in the Ganges, and the uranium keeps the water pure. So, this is another material explanation. The British thought it was a microbe eating, you know, a germ-eating bug, some organic matter that eats all the impurity and keeps the water pure. My supervisor somehow thinks it's uranium. He read it somewhere. We know it's Vishnupad, the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, that keep the Ganga pure and have this effect that whatever comes in contact with the Ganga becomes purified. Sometimes, by the time the Ganges reaches Mayapur, as an example, the water is quite brown. When you see the water in Gangotri or at Rishikesh, the water is a beautiful, beautiful bluish color. So beautiful. But by the time it reaches Mayapur, it's brown. It's still purifying. And there is foam. Often, after the rainy season particularly, there's a lot of foam that floats on top of the Ganges water. At least by the time it reaches Mayapur. But our acharyas, they tell us, don't be deceived by that. Gangam chabasam nakalu budbuddha feina pankar brahma dravatvam apagachati nira dharmai. Rupa Goswami, he says, if you see foam floating on the river Ganges, don't think that the water is impure. The power of Ganga to purify remains there nonetheless. Gangam chabasam nakalu budbuddha feina pankar. Don't be deceived by the phone. She is Vishnupadi. She has touched the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. I guess while we're discussing this, then maybe it's pertinent also to discuss Yamunaji, Yamuna Devi. People also flock. There's some 7 or 11 million people take bath in the three pilgrimage places in the Raja area. Kaishigat, Gokul, and Mathura each year. They go to take bath there. But some are saying that the Yamuna that flows there in the Raja area is no longer the Yamuna River, because upstream from between Yamunotri and Delhi, there are many dams, and the water of the Yamuna gets blocked and sent off in other directions to irrigate fields and bring water to communities. And so what leaves the dam is a little trickle, and then that goes to the next dam, and the same thing happens again. And there are a few dams along the way, and during the summer that little trickle becomes nothing. No flow between one dam to the next. And so what reaches Delhi is again siphoned off to different communities, and what gets returned to the riverbed of the Yamuna is waste, industrial waste, human urban waste. And so what flows on from Delhi is waste rather than Yamuna water. So this is a great tragedy. Devotees around the world, they've been trying to raise awareness. Not only devotees around the world, also in India, people have taken lawsuits against the Indian government, even in the High Court of India. And the High Court of India have declared the Yamuna as a dead river, because her flow is obstructed at so many points along the way. They have declared her a dead river. They've also ordered the Indian government, the High Court has ordered the Indian government to ensure that there is a flow from, you know, Yamunotri all the way through, that there is never a point where so much water that gets blocked or siphoned off that there is no longer a flow from one point to the next. That hasn't been fulfilled, and there are also there's also been orders given that the waste that goes into the Yamuna should instead be sent into other canals, that the Yamuna River bed remains pure. That hasn't happened either. So it's a great tragedy for devotees that Krishna's own Yamuna River, glorified in the Veda, glorified in the Bhagavatam, that she has been mistreated to such an extent. It's a great tragedy that Yamuna Devi has not been protected. People offer prayers, obeisances, worship to the Yamuna, but she has not been protected. Even in Australia, there is, you know, lots of effort to protect the Murray Darling Basin. There's a Murray River that flows through Australia, and there's a lot of, you know, it's a government issue to ensure that the proper flows remain within the river, that not too much water is taken out for agriculture, and so on. But that type of attention and diligence hasn't been given to the Yamuna. Now, having heard all of this and what I said earlier about the Ganga, that she always remains pure and purifying, how do we, you know, on one hand we hear that Yamuna is not flowing fully from one point to the next, that she's basically after Delhi, it's wastewater. No longer any, people claim no longer any Yamuna River remaining within that river. How are we to deal with Yamuna Ji, the Yamuna Ji that we see in Vrindavan? They still offer aarti there every day at Keshighat. How are we to, how should we think about this? Should we take our bath there? Should we offer our pranam? Or should we say, no, Delhi wastewater, what am I going to do with this? I'm not a fool. After what we've read, or what I've said about the Ganga, and how she remains pure, that Rupa says, don't be deceived by the foam on top, and then, but then knowing the facts of the Yamuna, how should we deal with it? I've thought about this a lot. I've thought about it a lot, and my conclusion is that whether she's the original, you know, Yamuna flowing from Yamunotri, whatever river is there, it's flowing in Krishna's land. It's mixed with the Vrajarenu, with the dust of Vrindavan. It flows in Yamuna's own riverbed, in Yamuna's own place. And so definitely needs to be respected. That river that flows in Yamuna's riverbed, even if it's, you know, other water that's coming to replace or take her place, it's still doing a service. And so that river needs to be respected. Whether one will go and drink or bathe there, that's another decision, an individual decision. But still that river that's there needs to be respected. But more important, effort should be made to bring that pure water, to purify, to bring that pure water of the Yamuna to flow there in Vrindavan again. There have been accounts of people bathing in the Yamuna in Vrindavan and getting ill from bathing there. Okay, so after hearing the glories of Yamuna, hearing the glories of Ganga, how do we practice this? How do we apply this? How is it relevant to us here today in Sydney? Yamuna, Ganga, they're quite far away from us. So one application, take advantage of the Yamuna, go there and make a pilgrimage to Mayapur, Vrindavan from time to time. That's very nice. Another is that the water that we use for service, we can also purify by remembering the Ganga and Yamuna and invoking their presence within that water before we offer it to the Lord. There is a prayer that can be chanted to invoke, Prabhupada's mentioned other holy rivers. Ganga cha Yamuna chaiva Godavari Saraswati Namavande Sindhu Kave Jalasmin Sanidin Kuru. Please come into this water to invoke these rivers. When I was a child, that prayer, that mantra was, someone had, you know, written it up and painted it on a board and put it in the shower. We had a, you know, public shower with in the school, the boys would take bath, and so take a bath and, you know, read off the mantra, bathing in Ganges water. That was the idea. That's how I learned the verse. A good idea, I think. That's one application. You invoke the Ganga, the Yamuna, and to offer it to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, or at your home altar when you do service. You can purify the water. I do that every day when I do puja. How else might we apply? Another application that we can take is the instructions of our acharyas, wherein they explain that having understood how powerful and purifying the Ganges and the Yamuna are, our acharyas say that association with Vaishnavas is even more purifying. You associate with all of this glorification of Vishnupadi, Patita Pavani, Janavi, that Ganga, she's so purifying. And our acharyas say all of that is correct, and understand that and take advantage of that. But there's one more thing. When you associate with Vaishnavas, the purifying effect is even greater. So how is that? Is that an offense to Ganga to say like that? Is that an offense to Jamunaji to say that? No. Our acharyas say that so many pilgrims, they go to the holy places, Gangotri, Yamunotri, Rishikesh, Haridwar, Prayag. They go to Mayapur to take a holy bath and purify it of sins. And that is good. These rivers, they have the power to purify one of our, to purify us of our sins. But our acharyas explain that after being purified of sins, people, they have the same mentality, and they go out and commit more sins, and so they are, there is definitely benefit, but the real issue, the real problem has not been removed, the real disease has not been removed. So you're just offloading some sins into the holy river. But the sinful mentality remains. Acharyas say that association with Vaishnavas has the power to destroy not just the sins or the reactions to sin, but the sinful mentality itself. And that is so much more beneficial. Our acharyas say that Ganga, she's receiving so many sins from so many people going and bathing and, you know, ridding themselves. By her mercy, she's Patita Pavani. She's the purifier of the sinful, of the fallen. But it is a great burden for her. It is a great burden for her that she must carry all of this sin in her waters. The acharyas explained, but when a Vaishnava goes and bathes in those waters, Ganga, she says, ah, this is purifying me. This is purifying me. I have so much sin from so many sinful people, and now this Vaishnava has come and bathed in my water, and I'm getting purified. And she likes it when the Vaishnavas come and bathe in her waters. Our acharyas, our shastras, they say that if you just go and bathe in the Ganga, you visit a pilgrimage place. Bhagavatam says this, you visit a pilgrimage place and you go and bathe in the Ganga, but you do not sit and hear from the Vaishnavas, from the sadhus who are doing their bhajan on the bank of the Ganga, you are a fool. Technical term used is mudha, translated as fool or ass, donkey. You are like a donkey offloading some burden, yeah, in the Ganga, but not really transforming your own heart. You maintain your ass mentality, carrying your heavy loads of material burdens. So all of this glorification of the Ganga, we can understand it to be whatever glory is there, that much more glorious is the Vaishnava. Ganga herself, she's also a Vaishnava, but her role is different. when we associate with the Vaishnava, associating with Vaishnava means not just coming and taking a blessing for increasing our material bondage, but to hear good instruction, to be reminded of our nature as a spirit soul, to be reminded of our eternal relationship with Krishna, to be reminded of our most important duty in life, our most important responsibility in life, and that is to practice bhakti, to revive that relationship. That's what we hear from the Vaishnava. Associating with Vaishnavas means to hear and to apply good spiritual instruction. That's the next misunderstanding, yeah? Bathing in the Ganga, that will offload you of sin. Serving the Vaishnava, that will purify you of the sinful mentality. Oh, okay, I will just take a blessing, I will give a donation, and I will carry on with my life. Association means to hear. Pariprashnena, to hear submissively and to apply that sevaya. Upadekshyanti te jnana, to take good instruction from the spirit, from the devotee, from the Vaishnava. That is Krishna, how Krishna tells us to associate with the Vaishnavas. So Ganga is so great. An association with Vaishnavas is even more great. And how wonderful must it be? Ganga Devi is described here as Vishnu Padi, touched by the lotus feet of Vishnu. The beautiful description in the verse of Upa Indra, or Upendra, little Indra, Vamana, the dwarf incarnation. Very, very cleverly coming before Bali as a small brahmachari, tiny brahmachari boy, very cute brahmachari boy, asking for some dakshina. Please give me 3 paces of land. You sure? Just 3 paces of land? I can give you a beautiful palace. No. Just 3 paces of land. I can give you a pretty princess. No. Just 3 paces of land. Okay, if that's all you want, I'll give you 3 paces of land. Shukracharya, don't do it. His guru, Rajguru, Shukracharya, don't do it. I sense a trick. This is Vishnu in disguise. Bali says, how wonderful. Vishnu comes to ask me for something. That is glorious. He will take everything. If Vishnu is coming to take from me, then that is the most wonderful thing. He takes his kamandalu to sign the contract. Signing the contract means pouring water from his hands to the hand of Vaman. And Shukra places his eyeball, his eye inside the spout of that kamandalu. Bali's trying to pour, no water's coming. Contract will not be signed. Shukra is pleased. He's saving the situation. He'll be out of a job. Bali loses everything. He has to save his job, create some obstruction to the signing of that contract. Bali's trying to pour, nothing coming up. Vaman says, no problem. Something's blocking it. He takes some kusha grass from his belt. And different devas have given Vaman his different paraphernalia. He has a stick, he has a kusha grass belt, he has a deerskin robe. He pushes that kusha grass into the spout of the pot, and Shukra loses an eye. Bali pours the water. Vaman receives it in his hand and starts to grow. he grows and grows and grows, such an enormous form. There's an amazing deity of Trivikram in Kanchi, Vishnu Kanchi. Who's seen that deity? Have you seen it? You think so? When you enter the temple, all you can see are the deity's shins. Because he's so tall, all you can see is his shins and his feet. You have to get up very close because the dome above the altar is much, much higher. So you have to get up close and then you can look up inside the altar dome. It's like if we entered the temple here and all you saw was Gopinath's foot and shin, and you had to get up right up in front of the altar to look up to see his face. That's this. Have you seen that deity? You haven't seen it. Trivikram in Vishnu Kanchi. So he grew to such an amazing height with his Prabhupada quotes the verse from Madhva. Standing on his right foot and extending his left foot to the edge of the universe, Lord Vamana became known as Trivikram, the incarnation who performed three heroic deeds. So his first heroic deed was to take the entire lower planetary systems. His second heroic deed was this, that he took the entire upper planetary systems and pierced the coverings of the universe. You can't imagine how thick those coverings are. And sometimes I do a little exercise. Each layer is 10 times thicker than the other. If you have one square centimeter of space, so the first covering around it will be 10 centimeters of earth. And then the covering of water will be a meter. The covering of fire will be 10 meters. The covering of ether will be, earth, water, fire, air will be a kilometer. Ether will be 10 kilometers. Mind will be 100 kilometers. Intelligence will be 1,000 kilometers. False ego, ahankara, will be 10,000 kilometers. It just gets, and that's starting with, 10,000 kilometer covering, yeah? That's starting with a centimeter of space. So the coverings of the universe, how much space do we have in our universe? We cannot calculate. We don't know. Even the scientists don't even try to calculate. It's basically unlimited from our perspective. So how thick are those coverings? Trivikram kicked. He didn't even mean to. Kind of an accident. He was taking the upper planetary systems. Well, oops! My big toe has gone through the coverings. And as he kicks through the coverings, then the water of the Karna ocean, Karana Dakashayi Vishnu. Karana Dakashayi Vishnu. He's the Vishnu who lies in the Karana ocean. Is it an ocean? What does it look like? Who can imagine? Yeah. Karana Dakashayi Vishnu is lying in a causal ocean that covers one quarter of the spiritual sky. Three quarters of that spiritual sky are the Brahmajyoti, Vaikuntha, and Goloka. One quarter of that spiritual sky is covered by a cloud called the Mahatattva. Right, yeah, and Karana Dakashayi Vishnu lies in there. He's also called as Mahavishnu. He lies in there and breathes. He rests in his yoga nidra. And as he breathes, out, all the universes come from the pores of his skin. As he breathes in, they return into his body again. Creation, annihilation, creation, annihilation. Between each creation and annihilation, there are so many partial annihilations that happen within those universes. So many kalpas and so many cycles of such a traitor, Kalpara Kali. Yeah, what is our what is our lifetime compared to that grand perspective of time? So when Trivikram moved his foot upwards, his toe pierced through the coverings and the water of the causal ocean leaked, began to flow into our universe. Another place in the Bhagavatam says that Brahma was so excited. He was so elated. Oh my God, look what Vishnu has done now. Look what our Lord has done this time. Who could imagine? He flew up there on his swan and decided to do Abhishek with his Kamandalu. So he poured water on Vishnu's, Trivikram's foot, and that caused the Ganges to flow into the universe. So two different accounts. They don't have to be exclusive, it can be both. Why not? Trivikram pierced the covering, causal ocean began to flow, Brahma was excited, took his Kamandalu, also did an Abhishek, and we have the Ganges flowing in this world. So that is the glory of Ganga, that is the glory of Trivikram. I was making a point.
She's
called Vishnupadi because she comes from that Trivikram kicking through the piercing the covering of the universe. Now the Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is also called as Vishnupad. The advanced Vaishnava is also called as Vishnupad. Jayom Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Parivrajagacharya, Asto Tarasata Shri Srimad. Okay, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, he died. But any great Vaishnava is honored as Vishnupad. So Ganga Devi, she is Vishnupadi. The Vaishnava is also Vishnupad or Vishnupadi. Because the Vaishnava is situated at the lotus feet of Vishnu. So, I asked you earlier how to apply this. What is the relevance to us? Relevance is that Ganga Devi, she is to be honored and respected. From time to time, you might take your bath or remember her when you do your seva. But more important for us and more practical for us, another reason why the Vaishnava is more glorious, is to take advantage of sadhusanga, to take advantage of Vaishnava sangha, to take advantage of Vaishnava seva. We do that by reading Prabhupada's translations and purports of the Bhagavatam, by hearing Prabhupada's chanting and lectures, by hearing the instructions and teachings and realizations of other devotees,
by
taking time to come and associate with Vaishnavas, to create opportunities for Vaishnava association. Rupa Goswami explains you can invite devotees for prasadam. You can accept such invitations, you can give gifts. Also reveal your mind and confidence whatever question or doubt, concern you may have, reveal that to a Vaishnava, someone that you hold, that you can hold in confidence, that can hear you, that can give you good advice, instruction, or just spiritual support, spiritual, emotional support, and encouragement in your journey, gradual, slow journey towards Krishna. Anyone who wants to make any progress in spiritual life must take advantage of the opportunity to hear from, to serve, to honor Vaishnavas. That's a more practical, relevant message and application for us, particularly for us who live so far away from Ganga Devi, living here in Sydney, Australia. So are there any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Okay, now I'm going to walk to the station and collect this Ganga water and bring it for the worshipping. So this is a big mess there. They have to go and yourself bring it. Then they sold it out. So generally people have this at home.
Yeah.
And if somebody passes away in their house,
right,
they have to break it and put one on
their So Prabhuji said in another way, you can serve Ganga or take advantage of Ganga's blessings is that you keep a little Ganga jal in a container. And people even make a business of it these days. You can buy your Ganga jal in the Indian store. Why not? In Jaipur Palace, that is Jaipur Palace Museum, there are these massive silver urns, silver pots, and you can't even lift them, they're so heavy. And they were constructed by, a king had them made. He was going on a journey to England, and he didn't want to bathe in anything other than Ganga Jal, to have his food prepared in anything other than Ganga Jal. So he had these massive silver pots, and many of them made, and Ganga Jal kept inside and sealed for his overseas trip. Most of us do not have such facilities available to us, large silver containers to bring our supply of Ganga Jal to Sydney. That's right. Yeah, so sometimes extraordinary circumstances. Okay, anything else? Anyone else?
In Calcutta, we have houses where there are like pipeline direct from Ganga. So you open the pipeline and the water is coming, so you don't even have to go to Ganga.
There you are. Calcutta has a very, very clever system for cleaning the city. You don't really see much of its effects these days, but developed by the British with the Ganga tide. So when the tide rises, it causes these a whole system of water to begin to flow at points all around the city. And that was timed, so the cleaners would be there to clean the city from the Ganga tides. It still works.
Yes.
Yeah, people are there, but they don't fully apply. Somebody else? More effort and repeated effort, and it's an ongoing, it's like when you're driving a car, it's not that you just get on the road and start the engine and you'll go. You have to be alert the whole time of how you navigate on that road. Spiritual life is the same. It's not just, oh, now I'm on the road and, you know, everything will be taken care of. You must be alert the whole time to how you apply. So association with Vaishnavas, anything that is a great benefit, it can also, if it is not treated properly, it can be destructive, like fire. So fire you use for cooking, fire we use for purifying, medical equipment, medical paraphernalia. We use fire in so many ways that it must be respected. If you disrespect the fire or don't keep it properly, then it can destroy everything. So when you deal with Vaishnavas, then you deal always respectfully and you can get the highest benefit, even greater than the benefit of serving Ganga Devi. Shiva himself tells Parvati, Tadyanam samachanam Vishnu araranam param, that of all the types of worship, Vishnu, the worship of Vishnu is the greatest, but even higher than worshipping Vishnu. Those of you who thought that, is that really, serving Vaishnavas, is it really greater than serving Ganga? Can you really say that? Shiva says that it's serving Vaishnavas is even greater than serving Vishnu himself. Parvati asks, what is the greatest worship? Vishnu says, worship of Vishnu, it is the greatest worship. But, tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samachanam, even more important and more effective and more powerful than worshipping Vishnu is to worship the tadiya. Tadiya means that which is contacted. So Ganga here, she has contacted Vishnu. She's called Vishnupadi. But the acharyas explain that tadiya that Shiva is talking about as the Vaishnavas. They are always in contact with Vishnu. They are Vishnupad, at the feet of Vishnu. And so worship of them is even greater. Yeah, better take, you're correct. We must be attentive in our service. We can start to... Maya will enter our minds and we'll think, oh, here's a fault, here's another fault. Why are they being honored? Why not me? And so all of that can start to get in the way to distract us from the benefit of Vaishnava Sangha, Vaishnava Association. Yes, Prabhu?
Sri Prabhu, the world, this is not exactly on the topic of what you were discussing, but the world has changed a lot since I first met the devotees in the summer of 1970. And I feel that we need, or at least certainly I need, some sort of ongoing refresher of how to live the Krishna conscious way given the evolution of society, given how things change, how the world has changed, etc. I'm just wondering if there's any ongoing discussion group, either here in Sydney or someplace close, where people talk, maybe, sort of initially referring to one of the shlokas, but talk about how to live in a Krishna-conscious way in the 2012.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that question. I know that in... those types of discussions, they usually happen in a less formal setting between groups of devotees that are more intimate, how they are practically applying Krishna consciousness in their life, in their family, in their home. And I believe in Sydney there are how many groups meet? Yeah, so there are 12 groups around the city.
I was thinking about something a little bit more, organized and dedicated to the notion, and a little bit larger also, because, there's a synergy in a group of 10, 15, 20 people all grappling with the same issue of how to be Krishna conscious in a world that's changing. And so I'm wondering if some sort of organized effort could be put into something like this.
Yeah. Okay, so what you're specifically describing does not exist. But I know, for example, I'm also part of a Bhakti Sangha group, and that's pretty much, you know, we start with the Bhagavad Gita verse, and every week we end up with what you've just described, how the individuals in that group are applying Krishna consciousness within the context of their day-to-day lives. That's pretty much the evolution of our conversation every week. But in terms of a bigger forum, no. Okay, thank you all very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jaya.
Yeah.